is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Couple minutes after 1 o'clock. We're here until 2 o'clock today. Jungle Jim Hunter on at 2 this afternoon with edition number 2 of this show. So stay tuned for that. You can reach us at Nation Radio at theteam1260.com. Plus, we're on Twitter at It's Nation Radio. Also, Low Tide underscore on Twitter as well. Our focus, Oilers past, present, and future, plus the NHL's biggest stories every week. And lots going on. Of course, Battle of Alberta. We'll preview that with Kent Wilson here in a couple of minutes. By the way, on After Hours tonight, it's Andy Sutton and Tom Rennie with Scott Oak, who is a national treasure. I love Scott Oak because questions that no one else will ask, he just asks casually. He's a very interesting guy, very good interview, and I always look forward to the show. By the way, tomorrow, we talked about this last hour, but I want to talk about it right now. Ryan Jones is going to be hand assigned a limited edition This Is Oil Country Edmonton Oilers team calendar. Proceeds from the sale of the calendar, which are $5.99, benefit local charities. In addition to meeting Ryan and having him sign a stocking stuffer, a signed Oiler jersey will also be raffled off, and that's at Rexall, 163rd Street and 96th Avenue in the Westgate neighborhood in Edmonton. That's 163rd and 96th. And of course, you can get the calendar at any Rexall drugstore. So check that out. And that's part of your weekend as well, getting Ryan Jones' autograph. Very cool. Oilers won a big one last night against Columbus. Played really one period, but boy, they played well in the third, ending up winning 6-3. Outstanding. Whatever Coach Rennie said between the second and third period, it worked. They had an outstanding third period. Hopefully, they can continue that for tonight's game. Joined now by Kent Wilson from Flames Nation and other parts on the internet. Kent, how are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Now, last week we talked, and I think we both agreed that Blake Como was going to be a really good pickup. Was that an understatement? Did he really play as well as he looked for most of the time I saw him on my television?
I don't know if it was an understatement, but it seems pretty accurate at this point. His line had a very good game last contest. They definitely controlled play. They had a lot of chances, and he got his first 2 points of the season. So far, so good.
Now, this question comes in from Cameron. I want to address it as right off the top because it's the one thing that we Oilers fans are thinking about. Given, and this is from Cameron, given Aginla's statement that he doesn't want to be traded and management not wanting to deal him, how many more bloggers in their underwear media conferences will Jay Feaster do this season?
I'm hoping none, but you never know. I mean, the funniest thing about that comment is that none of the rumors came from bloggers, as far as I know.
I don't think they did, right?
No, it was from Eric Francis and a couple other mainstream reporters, so I don't know why he decided to take aim at bloggers.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's that old school thing, right? You know,
yeah.
Let's you know, a bag of cheesies and one light bulb in the basement, yeah. And you're gaunch, and that's a blogger. It's funny because I found it interesting because most rumors like that, you know, that's not really what bloggers do for the most part.
No, I mean, the only blogger that does that is Eklund, right?
Yeah.
And he's a big name in the blogger world, and maybe that's why bloggers are synonymous with rumor mongers. But yeah, most bloggers that I read and know of don't really traffic in rumors. They might discuss them and speculate on them, but that's all.
Here's a question that I had, and I don't want this to be inflammatory, but I was thinking about this week with the Flames, you know, playing about the same level as the Oilers are win-loss-wise and just kind of trudging along. Is Jay Feaster maybe getting stubborn at the exact wrong time? And by that, I mean, if you're losing, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but if you're losing your best defenseman or arguably your best defenseman and things are going a little sideways, maybe, is that the wrong time to say, I will absolutely not, you know, offload, and then, you know, Nile Yakubov ends up being a Flame, and that's okay. Is this the wrong time for him to get stubborn about wins and losses?
I honestly don't know how much we can take from Feaster's what he says publicly. He's a GM, and he's also a lawyer, and he knows that he can't come out into the media and say, yeah, I have plans to trade people, and I really want to. He's been very guarded since he's come here. Now, he's been a lot more congenial than Daryl Sutter with the media, but he's been no less guarded. So I don't know how much stock I personally put in the I'm not never going to trade again the talk. To me, that's, to tell you the truth, Daryl Sutter said, I'm never going to trade Dion Phaneuf
right.
for a very long time, and then he traded Dion Phaneuf. So
yeah.
I'll believe Feaster when, you know, Iginla actually does stick around for the next 2 years. But up until then, I think it's just talk.
The guy that I'm interested in knowing how you feel about and whether or not you feel they might offload him is Bo Meester. Hmm. How has he played? Has he, you know, and I mean, let's take the contract out of it because, you know, every team has a contract that maybe looks a little, you know, unusual. But let's just take the value of the player for now. Has he played well enough to be a part of the future? And if not, or even if he has, do you think that's a player that they might look at trading if the value coming back is enough?
Bo Meester's actually been very strong this year, even better than last year, just in terms of his defensive play. I think he topped 28 minutes the other night. He plays consistently against the other team's best players. He plays in all situations. And his partner is Chris Butler right now. And, I mean, no offense to Chris Butler, but he's not exactly the ideal player you'd have playing shutdown minutes most nights. So, I mean, the problem with Bo Meester is he's not getting the points that you'd want from a $6.5 million contract, and I don't think he ever will in Calgary. He just doesn't have that kind of offense. And he's not a flashy player. He doesn't hit people a lot. He's not standing up guys at the blue line and knocking them down. And, I mean, it really depends on what his perception is outside of the market too, if they want a return. And to be honest, I don't think for what you could get for him right now would be worth trading him, if that makes sense.
Well, and the other side of that is from a Bo Meester point of view, with Giordano going down with ruptured tendons, you know, this is a guy they're going to rely on even more, right?
Yeah, it's the Flames' top four is getting really thin at this point. And if you take out Bo Meester, I don't know what's really left there.
Still in all, I look at this team, and maybe it's because, you know, Kent, I've just seen them do this before where they look like they're teetering on the edge and they're about to, you know, you're about to say down goes Frazier, and then suddenly they somehow get back up off the mat and they're you know, Iginla's scoring from everywhere again. And we've talked about this before, but do they have, you know, we talked about defensemen here with Giordano going down, and they're going to look at some guys. I know that there's a kid, I think, from L.A. or Anaheim that they had signed to an AHL deal, and they're going to look at him a little bit. Do you think they have the wherewithal to, if Iginla and Kiprasov and these other veterans come to, you know, just turn it around, is there enough there to get all the way to a playoff spot?
It's funny because we actually called them the Zombie Flames last year after December when they started going on their run, and they were basically the undead. They just would refuse to go down. So maybe it will happen again this year. I think the team is marginally worse than they were in terms of true talent last season, although it's Kiprasov's having a much better season. I expect Iginla to go on some sort of run coming up. He plays a lot. He gets a lot of power play time, and his percentages are a little off right now. So at some point, he's going to start scoring. I honestly think if the dice started landing on sevens for them, they might make the playoffs. That said, if they do, they'll be an eighth seed, and I think they'll get swept out of the first round anyway.
Right. Yeah. But you can't discount these veteran talents, right? Like the entering tonight's game, the Oilers are 7 points ahead, but the Flames have two games in hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, they win tonight and it's 5 points with two games in hand, and that's not tied, but you know, you can see it from there. And the Oilers are a team that, you know, as of this morning, they're tied for seventh overall because it's so tight. Calgary looks like they're, you know, a distance away, but it can close so quickly. And the gap can close quickly. They haven't done it in the last 10, but they're not a terrible road team. And as you say, the goaltending is there. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of see that there's, even now, there's the script could be written that they jump past at least a few teams here.
Yeah, and Brent Sutter seems to be figuring out what he has this year. He really struggled with matchups to start the season. Didn't really know what to do in terms of matching up who with who. He's got Iginla with Glenn Cross and Jokinen now. And the other lines, they're doing okay, and the other lines are starting to hit it out of the park too. The one we talked about, of course, Blake Como, he played with Michael Backlund, who was out to start the season. And that really looks like a pretty strong third line. You're never going to win the Stanley Cup with a strong third line, but...
No.
maybe you'll get some points in the standings.
Now, if we're matching up tonight's game, goaltending wise, two veterans going, obviously Kiprusoff and Habib Bulin tonight. Kiprusoff is, I always hesitate to underrate him, so I would say that it's a saw off with a slight edge to the Flames, because Kiprusoff has not been as effective as he was in the first, say, 12 to 15 games of his season. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, slight edge to the Flames there?
I would, but it's goaltending is incredibly hard to predict. I mean, who would have thought that Habib Bulin would be one of the best goaltenders through the first, 6 to 8 weeks of the year this year, after being pretty much the worst starter in the league for the last year or two. So, and as for Kiprusoff, I mean, he was a replacement-level goaltender last year in terms of his save percentage, but he's got a 930 even strength right now, which is, if he hangs on, is going to be, I think, his best mark in 5 or 6 years. So right now I'd say the Flames should have the edge, but in a single game, you never know.
Yeah, that's true. And defensively, I think that Giordano, just on the basis of trying to figure it out, now they've played since then, and I thought what I saw against Columbus, obviously late, wasn't good, but they played pretty well there.
Yeah, they actually mostly dominated Columbus except for about 5 minutes in the first period and 5 minutes in the third period, and that was enough for Columbus to tie it up and get the win in the shootout. One guy Edmonton fans may want to watch tonight is a guy we've actually talked about before, is TJ Brody. He's been called up this year, and he's really playing very well. Now he's sort of second, third pairing, and he's not very big. He's not going to knock anyone over, but he's great with the puck, and he's very creative in the offensive zone, and he's been a bit of a revelation for us recently.
Final question, then I'm going to let you go, but I wanted to talk to you about this because I wanted to be sensitive about it, because it's never fun or funny, but Corey Sarich, who's a veteran guy who maybe isn't getting the role he had felt was apropos, has officially requested a trade. Tell us a little bit about how that happened, how it came about, and whether you think it's likely he'll get dealt to someone.
Well, today he and his agent are coming out and saying they did not officially request the trade, which is the typical dance you get with this type of stuff. Let's just assume that he has gone to management and asked for a trade. It wouldn't surprise me. He's been a healthy scratch most of the season. The last couple of years, I mean, when he was originally signed by Sutter, he was supposed to be Robin Regier's partner in the top shutdown pairing. That's never really come about. He struggled with that the first couple seasons. After the lockout, he wasn't quite as effective. And he has real mobility issues, and he has chronic injury issues, which also slow him down. So the franchise, the organization, isn't a big Corey Sarge fan at this point. And he can't be more than a third-pairing defender. And even then, he's somewhat of a detriment, just because he can't keep up with the play anymore.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to the game. What have you got coming up on Flames Nation here in the next week or so?
Well, today I get to write the game day post on Oilers Nation.
Mm-hmm.
that was at the behest of our boss, so that's going to be interesting. We're going to have a live chat going between both sites tonight.
Oh, cool.
So people should show up and have their tough boots on. And
well, I promise to drop by and be wildly inappropriate. How's that?
Well, you won't be the only one, I'm sure.
All right. Hey, Kent, thanks for this.
Sounds good.
All right. Kent Wilson from Flames Nation, and a little bit of a preview of the Battle of Alberta. Interesting with Giordano going down, and he talked about some of the options, and a one-off game, you never know, but long-term, that Calgary Flames team, I never trust them, because they always look dead, and then they as he said, the zombie Flames, they show up, and they're all of a sudden pushing for a playoff spot. We'll see if that happens this year, you don't want to, obviously we don't want to count on that, but it's Calgary Flames, they are always pointed in the direction of trying to win now, and I you have to respect that. An organization like the Oilers, who did the rebuild and are now coming up, they're at a different level, obviously, and still ahead of the Calgary Flames, but part of the growth of a team like the Oilers is being able to put down and put in place and finish off a veteran group like the Flames. So I think tonight is going to be a very interesting game for these young Oilers, so we'll look forward to that. Coming up, we've got a couple of folks, Thomas Drantz from Canucks Army, and we'll also talk to JP Nicole Dakota of Leafs Nation before 2 o'clock. This is Nation Radio, presented by Edmonton Motors.